haven't been here in a while again, and every time I come back, I think I'm seeing different faces or new people. So welcome to our morning service. Can I maybe ask, I know I like doing this, but I always feel like everyone's sitting so far, and I like talking face to face. So can I maybe ask that you just move a little bit closer to me? Just maybe if it's just two rows to the front. Or right in the front. Welcome to all the moms as well. And the dads. Didn't forget you. And your happy Women's Day for all the ladies yesterday. Yes. I hope all the men remembered to do something special. If you didn't, you still have today. Okay, so as you know, we just finished with the prophetic series that we did. Who of you were there for the Wednesday, Friday, Saturday sessions? Even if you were there just for one of them. Let me just see. Okay, great. It was incredible. It was incredible. I cannot even explain to you how God was just there. I don't even have words for it. Mary and I kept talking about it afterwards, just that sometimes our expectation of God is so small, and then he comes and he just blows it out the park, I basically want to say. It's just too much to even comprehend. So I really just want to thank you for also being a part and taking hands with us in that week, because this is really something that is not just, it shouldn't just be an office thing or the pastor's thing. It should be something that us as a church have a desire to hear the voice of the Lord, to be his voice, to speak on his behalf for the people that he wants to speak to do these miracles, to really step out of our comfort zone. And we can only really do that if we actually come with an expectation that he will meet us, if we come with a desire for those gifts and the things of his heart. So for me, during that week, I knew that I was going to preach this Sunday, and I was like, Lord, what am I going to say after the prophetic series? It almost feels like there's nothing more that I can say that God hasn't already covered in a way. And during that week, what was very interesting for me is that while we're talking about the gifts, while we're doing workshops and explaining how things work and with the worship and words of knowledge and dreams and all these things and Bernie's crazy stories that he shared, I think that all night I almost didn't sleep because I was expecting these dreams or things happening. But there was a common thread that came through the whole week, and that was love. And that shouldn't be a surprise to us, because God is the God of love. But in terms of the prophetic, it was interesting for me, because that was consistently the theme that came through. Come back to the focus of God. Come back to loving God. Come back to loving God the whole time. We would do and give words, and people would be praying and worshiping, and then one word would come through. Come back to focusing on God. It was amazing for me, because that is ultimately what the prophetic has to do, to inspire people to come back to the heart of God. So if we did that right, then I'm happy. If everyone was inspired to get closer to God, then we did something right. And so then on Sunday night, I know some of you were there. Who was there on Sunday night? Okay, so Sunday night was this crazy service. We don't really have a lot of them, so when they happened, it was really like a blessing. But something that also came out on Sunday night was a couple of words, and what stood out for me was God's heart for the nations, specifically Africa. It kept coming up, words from God, that we need to have a heart for the nations. We need to have a heart for Africa, whether it means literally or physically or spiritually. He definitely, that word came through. And the second thing was water. Very interesting. Like, we actually prayed for people who had water literally on their heart, something that they, God is speaking to them about, a project that they're part of. You can't imagine how many people were standing in the front that are currently busy in projects or things that has to do with water. When Bernie said the word, I was like, do you mean it literally or prophetically? What do you mean water? Like, God's living water or water? Literally water. And this whole row of people came to the front, and we prayed for them, and we just commissioned them that this is what God is speaking to you about. And then after that, then in a symbolism, the word came of living water compared to that murky water. All right, so there's a point why I'm explaining all of this to you. It's just so everyone is on the same page. So I said to God, okay, so now to continue with that, we need to again come back to that place of love. Because if we don't understand love, our works is just going to be noise. it is just going to be work. It's going to be fleshly. And I feel now that we have momentum and we've started growing in it, and maybe some of you for the first time in your life had a word of knowledge. I know in small groups as well, we were praying for one another. The small group that I was a part of this week, it was incredible. The one girl have never in her life had a word of knowledge for someone else, and for the first time, and she was like static because she couldn't believe that. But that's God's heart. His heart is so for the other person that he will help us continually so that his heart will be revealed for that person. So we have to get back to this thing of love. And of course, in today's age, there's so much to be said about love, isn't it? Lots of forms of love. We can say we love our husband and our wife, or our girlfriend or our boyfriend. We can say that we love our children. It's always easy. Well, no. My sister says it's not always easy to love your children. But we can't help but not love them, even when they're difficult. But when they're cute, they're really cute, and then you really can't help but love them, right? But it's become such a common word. We love coffee, okay? We love our work. We love the beach. We love the mountain. We love clothes. We love people. We love all of Macs or whatever phone, the things that you're busy. Love, 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 love. It's something that we are using it so easily that I almost feel like we're losing the weight of what is love. So that was my question to God. Okay, Lord, why is love the common thread here? Why in all the verses that we're getting, you keep saying, come back to love? So what is love? So I first want us to look at, where is it now? 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1, okay? This is the beginning of a verse that the whole world knows, all right? But we first need to read this one. So if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. All the percussionists know exactly what I mean by this, okay? And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, okay, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burnt, but have not love, I gain nothing. All right. I want us to understand this first before we can go on. God is saying to us, even if you bring the best gift that you can or the best offering, and we hear this a lot in the Bible where he said, your offerings mean nothing to me because what is in your heart is not pure. And I really felt that was the word, the connotation for me was the murky water compared to the clear water. Water can be water, but if you drink it and it's not good water, you can feel it for the next week, okay? But fresh, good water is good for us. And that, if I had to take that and put it onto love, there's the difference for me. Love can be love. I can love my coffee. I do love my coffee every morning. I made Murray get up this morning so he can make me coffee before I come here. So it took a lot of convincing. But it's not love. It's not this love. Okay? There's no way that we can say one day to God, yes, God, I understood love. I love my coffee. He's not going to think that's beautiful. He's not going to think that's inspiring. All right. So it's obviously something that's serious to God. Because if all that we do is just do miracles and gifts and we help the poor and we make a lot of money so that we can help other people, all these things, they are good. Don't misunderstand me. They are good things. But God is saying, he's taking this so seriously that he's saying, all those things are great, but they mean nothing and you will be nothing if your heart doesn't have love. In other words, if it's not done from a place of love, that is really scary. And I had to start thinking about the things that I do every day. When I go to work, when I'm on the bus, when I ask my husband to get up in the morning to make me coffee. Am I doing it from a place of love or am I doing it for self-gain? So my next question was, okay, God, I hear you. This is serious. Because I can preach here this morning and it will mean nothing if I don't have love. The worship team can sing their hearts out, but if they don't have love, it will be a noise. Okay, so our next question has to be, so what is love? And the first scripture that we all know is the love of the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. So we think immediately this is what God means with love. you know, love the Lord. Love the Lord. Because it is the first commandment. All right? But then God said to me, look at John 13, verse 34. And that's the one that you have there. Now, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. You call me teacher and Lord. And you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Okay, that's a big one. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also ought to love one another. By this, and this is important, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. All right? I think I read that about 10 times before it really sank in, what God is saying it to us. I want you to understand this is a command. The first command is right. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength and all your might. But the second is as important. Love your neighbor. And we all remember that story where the lawyer came to God and to Jesus and he said, so, okay, who's my neighbor? And then he told him the story of the, thank you, now, the Good Samaritan. Okay, we all know that story. In children's church, we already hear that story. But the point was, everyone is your neighbor. So if you look around in this room right now, firstly, immediately, this is your neighbors. So when God says, love the Lord your God and love one another, it's a commandment. Okay? So immediately now it's like, sure, all right, this is big. And then secondly, he goes even further and he says, everyone will know us, will know of us and know us by our love for one another. Now it really gets hectic. Okay. Because God is saying the world should know us. They should be able to point us out in the crowd because of the love that we have for one another. They should be able to walk in here and not know that we're a church and know that we're a church because of the way that we love one another. They should be able to walk into our homes when we have dinner and the kids are screaming and we're tired and the week has been long and know that we are Christian because of our love for one another. Shame. I was visiting my sister in George. Yes, I was laughing. That week, we had a lot of things going on. And so spiritually, it was just going nuts. And on the same day, her little boy starts getting sick. Then the girl gets sick. Then Bernard had trouble with his cars. Then my sister got sick. Now I'm the only one that's not sick, and usually I'm the one that gets sick. So I'm like, thank you, Lord. For once, I'm not sick, okay? So now we start praying. It's like, what is going on here? But I must say, like, it's terrible when you see the little kids sitting in front of the TV, and they don't want to go away from the TV because they want to sit there, but they're actually so sick, and the mom's sick, and dad's overworked. Then it's very difficult to see that there's love for one another when all you want to do is sleep. But then we drove to Bloom the next day, and I was standing in the kitchen. I was busy drinking my coffee, and then I heard my sister's husband's name is Bernard, and I heard Bernard saying to my sister and the kids, come, we're going to pray now. Mommy is going to Bloom. She's driving there. And I just hear Michal, the little boy, in his own words. He said something about, in Afrikaans, you know, drive safe, liefde, something very jargon. I don't know what he was saying. And Layla started praying something beautiful, and then it went into a completely different direction. She can't concentrate on one thing for a long time. So it started with a car that she prayed for, and then with mommy that's going to bring her presents, or I don't know what. But I remember standing in the kitchen, and I started crying. I know them. I've known my sister, obviously, since I was little. I know this family. I know them. I know their ups and downs. I know the struggles that they've been through. And all of a sudden, I just started crying because of that moment. Because in that moment, even though the previous day, they were all shouting and throwing up and couldn't sleep and I don't know what else, in one moment, there was their love. That was who they are, praying for one another. And I was in tears afterwards. I don't know what Vilmi was also crying, but I was also crying because it was just such a beautiful manifestation of what love is. Okay, so again, if someone comes into our homes, Do they know that we are God's children by our love for one another? So now we have to ask, and I've been asking it now over and over, so what is love, God? Because it's very easy to go, okay, I do love my child or my wife or my friends. But what is love? If we don't know what it is, how can we say that we love? If we can't answer the question, how can you actually say that you know that you're someone that loves? So now, of course, the second scripture that the whole world knows, and it's used at every wedding, and even in movies it's quoted without referring to the Bible, of course, is 1 Corinthians 13. You don't even have to look there to know the scripture. Love is patient and kind. All right? We all know that first line especially. But if we look at the scripture, and I'm going to read it just now, this is an explanation of what love is in a very practical way. Okay, because if we ask the question, so God, you say, you command that I love. So what is love? I love asking questions. This is a good question. So what is it? 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. It is kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, which is why children, when they're young, can't help it. They don't always get the love thing right just yet, okay? It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Now, this is heavy. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. What is love? I feel like I want to put this somewhere on my wall at home to remind myself. But what I also want to say is when you read that, even as you're reading it, it starts feeling impossible. Because this person, if there's someone like this in the world that can love like this, they are perfect. Because this kind of love is literally perfect. So God is actually also saying to us, you can't do this. It's impossible to love perfectly the way that it describes here. And yet this is love. So now we're standing in a catch-22. Okay, Lord, I want to love like this, but it's impossible. Okay? So God says 1 John 4:7. I was praying and I said to the Lord, Lord, there's millions of verses in the Bible about love. Lots. But which one actually answers this? The heart behind your love. And why we need to understand this. And it's 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's a heavy statement. And this is what I want us to hear. The love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loves us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loves us, we also ought to love one another. God is speaking here about the fact that his example to us about what love should look like was his Son. The Son that he sent to die so that all of us can live through him. We're going to get back to that 1 Corinthians 13 just now, but I want you to hear this. God says, my love was made visible to each of us by this one act. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us because he has given us of his Spirit So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. That abides means to stay or to live. So whoever stays or lives in God, he lives in them. Okay? By this love perfected with us, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Okay, there's 100 things in just those couple of verses, and I want to break it down quickly. Firstly, God is saying, we cannot love him if we do not love one another. I want to say this again. If we say yeah, and we sing songs, and we read the word, and we're praying, we say, God, I love you. But deep inside of us, we have hatred towards someone. Or we come to church, and we just don't want to sit next to that person. Or we go to a small group, and we just hope that one person is not going to show up tonight. Or we go to work, and you hope that one colleague is sick. Okay? We laugh about it, because we all have that one aunt or person that's weird in your family as well. But God is saying, especially to that, you cannot say to me and sing songs to me that you love me if you do not love your neighbors. And I want us to ask ourselves honestly today, can we say that? Can we say that? Can we say that we love one another? And I don't think it's possible every single day to say that. Because here's the second thing. They speak about love has no fear. Perfect love drives out fear. And I think a big problem is that we all understand that when you love someone, you make yourself vulnerable. You open up your heart. You expose your heart. And there's an immediate danger of being hurt. There's an immediate danger that this person might abuse your love. And I want to share with you, before most of you knew me, I think only Aldous knew me back way when. But I did not understand this thing at all. And a big reason was because of my fear of getting hurt. I was in a school where, for some reason, the group that I was in a class with was so conniving and so backstabbing and so full of jealousy. We just couldn't give each other the space to just be. Where I remember my sister was in a class that it was completely the opposite. She loved school, where I hated every minute of it. And this weird thing started happening where I started deciding in my head, the only way that I'm not going to get hurt is if I build this wall around my heart. And then no one's going to be able to hurt me. But the joke is that I can also not come near anyone. And no one can come near me. So I'm fooling myself. I'm fooling myself and thinking I'm protecting myself. And God said it to me every day. I was saved, by the way. I knew the Lord. But I said to God, you are my only friend. For the longest time of my life, that's how I related to God. He is my best friend. I don't need anyone else. And I honestly, wonderfully thought that that was okay. I was seriously deceived. So then I went to varsity, and every now and then I'll try and make a good friend, but I didn't know how to be a friend because I didn't understand love. And so every time I had the same conversation with a friend, Henri, you're so closed down. I don't really know you. Sometimes you're there and sometimes you're not there. There's no like, and I couldn't get over that bridge because I didn't understand what love looked like. And I had God. And I loved God. And then the miracle happened that I met my husband and we were friends. And for those of you who know him or you don't know him, my husband gets love. if I've never in my life met someone who loves people the way that Murray loves people. And he doesn't do it as, like, he doesn't try. It's not something that he tries. I really believe it's a gift that God has given him. He loves people, anyone and everyone. It's incredible. So now we meet, and we're friends. And so he's starting to plan this camp to the Drakensberg. And we're standing in this whole group of people, and he's talking about, yeah, it's going to be awesome, and we're going to have camp and this and this. And then he goes, yeah, so whoever wants to come, just let me know. And I freaked out. I was like, what? And I pulled him to the side. I'm like, how can you just make an open invitation? How can you just invite everyone? And he said to me, why not? And I was like, because what if someone comes that we don't want there? I actually said it. Because there was a specific person that I had in mind. Oy, the Lord has such a sense of humor. So Murray looks at me. Now you must also understand, Murray at that time had only been saved for 6 months. Moi has been saved since then. It's 7, okay? And he says to me, he literally looked at me, and it wasn't like, oh, I can't believe that you just said that. He even looked at me with love, and he's just like, because everyone is welcome. And I was convicted, not condemned, convicted by the Lord. Because in that moment, God used Murray's love for people, for everyone and anyone, to expose my heart. And for the first time, I realized, oh my goodness, I actually don't love people. Now, everyone else around me, that was kind of obvious. But for me, it wasn't. It really wasn't obvious. I really and genuinely thought I loved people. But in that moment, God exposed me, and he was like, you don't. And the second thing that happened was on this camp, and the irony is the person that I didn't want to come with did come with. And today we're such good friends because of the camp. It's just, God is just amazing like that. So on the camp, there was another guy, Johan Strydom, I don't know who knows him, but so Murray is just being Murray, and he's not trying to impress anyone. He's just doing his thing. And at one point, Johan and I went for a walk, and he said to me, you know what? I've never met someone who understands serving the way that this guy does. Then he tells me, I didn't know this again, because I don't get love, that every morning I'm sleeping late. Okay? While I'm sleeping late, Murray is getting up early, making coffee for everyone. He makes breakfast for everyone. So now he's already busy eating his breakfast. Now today I know Murray hates cold food. He hates it. Now only I hear, while I'm busy getting up and I'm late, everyone's eating, food is hot, Murray leaves his food, he gets up and he goes to make me food. I didn't know this. And he just does it without thinking. He does it without trying. He's not trying to impress anyone. I really want to say this because it's really not who he is. And as he said it to me, he was just going on about, I feel so challenged. I feel so inspired. I need to get this thing. Like, how does he do this? And once again, God convicted me because I realized I'm being the lazy bum at the camp. I'm being served like it's a hotel. And meanwhile, Murray is serving everyone. And I know it's not that he's looking for, like, that thank you, Murray. Like, Anna also knows Murray very well. He's not like that. But again, God used something very simple to convict me that I don't get love. Because I have a point. God's definition of love is laying down your life for your friend. And I want to first say, let's look at it in a metaphorical sense. Because what Murray was doing was exactly that. Can I ask the projector that we go back to that 1 Corinthians 13? Love is patient. Because here's the thing. If we look at what Jesus is saying, there's no greater love than laying down your life for a friend. And if we receive the fact that he says, my love was made visible to you by doing it literally, we understand that he, his blood, who he was, his love for us, gives us the grace to do all of this in his grace. But the realization that I had was, God, we can only do this if we do it every time by laying down our own life for someone else. Okay? So love is patient. How many times are we impatient and we don't wait and we're not we want it now. We want it done now. And we get sharp with someone or irritated with someone because it's not happening right now. Love is patient. So in other words, lay down your own pride. Lay down your own needs. Love is patient, especially in marriages. How many of the people you are married? Oh my goodness. Love is patient. Your wife or husband is not going to wake up perfect. This is who they are. This is where our love gets tested in marriage, probably most of all. Love is patient. And the only way we can get this right is if we lay down our own wants and desires and pride. For those who have children, even more. Love is kind. It is not envy. It doesn't boast. It isn't arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It isn't irritable. Oh. It doesn't resent. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all, hopes all, endures all. And it never ends. And the only way we can do this kind of love that is practically perfect is if we continuously choose to put someone else's needs above our own. Every time. Now for the moms and dads, I'm not there yet, but I can hear how hard that is. Because from the morning to the evening, someone's needs is already above your own. You don't have a choice. But at some point, they get old enough where you can choose. And that's when it becomes a love that you choose. I choose this person. I choose my husband. I choose my wife. I choose my friend. This friend sitting here, how many times she has called me out because my friendship is just a one-way thing. But that's friendship. Friendship is when you can say to your friend in love, you know what? This is not love. Because Anal is probably one of those, sorry, I'm totally now embarrassing you. But she's one of those people that understands love. She serves without expecting anything back. She gives without expecting anything back. She loves without expecting anything back. But don't abuse it. And the only way I can do that and that we can do that is if we accept the grace that God has for each of us. What the blood on the cross meant for each of us, that it's okay that we're not perfect. God gives us a way to love like this. Even when we get it wrong, we can still choose, take a step back, choose the other person. Choose the other person. We cannot say that we come out of a week. We want to be that prophetic voice in the city. Because I think we heard that a lot. Shofar has been called to be a prophetic voice if we do not have love. Then we're going to stand on Table Mountain and prophesy for the city, and it's going to be a noise. People's ears are going to be closed because they can see that we do not love. And I want to say to you today, this is not a condemning word. Because God is love. So what we are actually saying is, draw closer to God. Love people the way that God loves us. You know what's the most beautiful thing that in all those verses where he says, love the way that I have loved you. Yes, and if we start thinking and living and working like that, our life changes. So that every time you walk into church, and I really want to say this, this is probably the area where we struggle with this the most. Is when we come into church and we start looking around. Who's looking at me? Am I fitting in? Am I good enough? Is someone going to even recognize me? Is anyone going to greet me? I want you to know I'm not belittling the fact that when you come to church and you still don't have a friend after 2 years, that that's not hurtful. That is hurtful. But God is also saying to us, I want you to be a friend. I want you to love the way that I love you. That's how I want you to come to church. I don't want you to just go to work and do your work and you make your money and you leave and no one there knows your love because it's my love. Then it's not love. Because if we really love the city, if we really want it to be the change, we will love. The most beautiful scripture that says it to me, and it's from the Message, is Ephesians 5. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with Him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love, and this is beautiful, His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of Himself to us. Love like that. I'm going to ask that they play a song now. And while the song is playing, I want the ushers to just hand out the communion. Because I want us to have communion this morning to remind ourselves of this, that extravagant love. Because if God had chosen to cautiously love us, we wouldn't be here today. He loved us without holding back. He loved us fearlessly, extravagantly. We need to receive that love in order to give it. And so I want us, while we're using the communion, while you're listening to the song, I want you to just close your eyes and really listen to the words. Because I feel God saying, if you cannot receive my love, how can you give it? And by giving it, you are loving me. But that means we need a revelation of that love of God, the love that is extravagant, that doesn't hold back, that is fearless. And while the song is playing, I'm not going to say when we're going to take the bread and take the drinks. I want you to do it in your own time. Thank you. I want everyone to listen to the song, and while it's playing, whenever you feel, okay, Lord, I want to commit. Commit is the wrong word. I want to respond to this love. I want to respond to the love that is extravagant. I want to learn, like what that scripture says, keep company with Him and learn a life of love. I want to know this love. So first, I'm going to sit at your feet so that I can learn, so that I can receive this love from you. And then I'm going to go out and I'm going to give this love. I'm not saying in any way that it's going to be easy, and I'm not saying that it's just going to happen like that. I can't even guarantee that we're not going to get hurt. Because here's the thing, my husband who loves people, this is the one area that he's also gotten the most hurt. Because he exposes himself. But you know how proud I am of him that he keeps doing it. Because my inclination is just to go, okay, never again. I'm not going to love again. I'm not going to have friends anymore. Because you just get hurt. When Murray, every time, battles through it, forgives the person, and he just loves again. And I want to be like that. I want to be the kind of pastor that can love no matter what. The kind of friend that can love no matter what. The kind of wife and hopefully mother one day that can love no matter what. But that means I need to do this with you as well. I need to keep company with him and learn from him that life of love. I need to receive it. I need to believe that his love is made perfect in me the more I spend time with him. And that will mean I become fearless. And that will mean I can love fearlessly. And I want you to know this is still scary for me. It's not like I've just been healed of this thing. I am also standing here today in faith that every day I'm going to choose someone else above me. So while they're playing the song, close your eyes and in your own time, respond to what God is saying to you. And then I'll just finish up for us. Lord, and we repent that our hearts Our hearts wander so easily, Father. But thank you for your grace this morning. Thank you for just opening our hearts again, our eyes, to see you. To step into that place where we can sing, we will love you. Where it's not a command anymore, where it's a desire. It's so much more. It's moved beyond. It's a desire. We will love you. We want to love you. While every eye is closed, I just want to ask if there's anyone this morning that wants to just respond to that and say to God, I will love you. I choose to love you. I want to love you. And it's something that you just need to acknowledge. You just need a witness to it. And I want you to just quickly look at me, just put up your hand until I see you. You can put down your hand again. Thank you. If I've seen you, you can put down your hand. Oh, Father, we, all of us who have put up our hands, we say to you this morning, we want to love you. We will love you. We will love you. Thank you that you don't have to say it to us today, Father. It is our desire. We want to love you. And we will love you extravagantly. With arms wide open and our hearts exposed. We will love you extravagantly. And then I want to ask if there's anyone here that you understand that you need to love people, but you can't because you've been so hurt. Maybe you're sitting in, you don't have any friends. Maybe you're sitting in this church and you don't have one friend in this church. Or maybe you've just been so disappointed by what love should be. I want you just to put up your hand again. Just put, look at me. If you see me, you can put down again. I want all of us to pray together. Thank you for those hands. Anyone else? Father, for us who had to walk a road where love was something that was hurtful, Father, we come and ask for restoration this morning. We ask that you will come and restore our hearts that have been hardened by fear. And we ask that you will make your home in us, Father, so that your perfect love can drive out this fear of being hurt, the fear of rejection, the fear of being disappointed, the fear of singing our arms while we will be wide open and exposed, our heart will be exposed. Because what we're also saying is sometimes we will bleed. But Father, today we choose to say, Lord, you say, if I love you, I must love people. So we ask for courage. We ask for a perfect love to abide in us. So that no matter what, we will choose the other person above ourselves, even above the things that we're scared of. But we also repent, Father. We repent of running away from love. Because we're also saying by that that we're running away from you. So we ask, Lord, let us run towards you. Let us run towards people, no matter the response. And thank you, Father, that you say to us this morning, I have you. I hold you. I abide in you. My home is in you. My perfect love will make sure that there is no fear. And so we ask for it. We ask for that perfect love. I want those people afterwards. I'm going to wait you a little bit. If you still want to talk or you just want to pray, you can just come to me. I just feel if there's someone that just needs to have one-on-one prayer, then let's do that. And then finally, I just want us to stand up. I think some of you or most of you should know that at the moment what's going on in Iraq and our brothers and sisters are being killed for their faith. It's news. You can go look if you don't. If you really don't know what's going on, you literally can just Google. It's not pretty. They're literally killing thousands and thousands of people and children because of the fact that they don't want to renounce God. And guys, when God says to us, "There is no greater love than laying down your life for a friend," and God is that friend, it becomes real. Then it becomes very, very real. And for our own sakes and for the grace of God, we still don't have to do that. Not yet. For us, what love is still very much metaphorical. We lay down our lives for each other, not literally. But there are friends of ours and brothers and sisters that are doing it literally. So I just want us just to take a moment, just let's take hands. And I just want to pray, just let us pray together. I want us to pray in agreement. And I want each of us just to pray for their faith, to pray for their hope, that hope will be stirred, that they will not give in, that they will not allow fear to come in the way of a lifetime with the Lord who loves them. Okay, so all of us just together in our own words, let's just pray for them. Yeah, Father, we just come in agreement and we say, Lord, hope will not disappoint. Father, even at the point of death, Lord, where it is our time to go, that we will not lose sight of the prize. Lord, we, in a very literal sense, when you say you must finish the race, we pray for our brothers and sisters to finish the race well, that they will not lose hope and not lose sight of you, where earthly things for them really is going to pass. They will have hope in the glory that is to come, Father. We pray for courage. We pray for hearts of courage, Lord. But Lord, we also come and just pray for that nation. And we ask for a miracle, Lord. We ask for your grace. We ask for your manifest love, Lord. We ask for this persecution to stop, Lord. Where our brothers and sisters can be free. And we ask for mercy. We ask for mercy, Lord. And then, Father, I just want to thank you for each person here in front of me. I'm going to thank you, Lord, for each of their gifts. The gift that they are to the church, to one another, to their colleagues, to their families. And I pray, Lord, for a love that is sacrificial, a love that is extravagant, a love that chooses the other person. May we be known for our love for one another. May every person that comes in here see it. May it be visible, practical, physical, spiritual. When they come into our homes, into our lives, may they see our love for one another. And I pray for this week, Lord, that every person going out here, that they will not lose hope when they get it wrong. Just feel there's people here that are so petrified that you're going to get this wrong. God doesn't work like that. But if we constantly go back to Him and ask to make Him our home, we have a chance every second to get it right, even for all the times that we get it wrong. And so thank you for your grace this morning. Thank you that we can walk in the revelation of what your cross and your love means for each of us. Thank you for opportunities. I just feel there's people here. God has been speaking to you about someone at your work, and you haven't had the courage to just go and pray for them and connect with them. Lord, I pray for courage this morning. I pray that your love will compel them to move and to go and love and to be love the way that you are love. For the married couples, I feel God is saying, your relationship, let it be a visible manifestation of my love. And again, God doesn't expect us to have perfect marriages, but he wants our marriages to be a reflection of his love. So Lord, I pray for grace on the marriages here today. I pray, Father, where there's trouble times, where we have kids and we can't sleep, Father, and we're tired, or stress from work, or stress within the home, or things are not working. Father, beyond all of that, I pray that we will abide in you as couples, that we'll allow you to be our home as a couple, and that we will have grace for one another, that we will have patience for one another, that we will choose one another, and by that we love you. Amen. Thank you, everyone. I really want to ask, go and keep praying about this. Take this into your quiet times this week. Ask God if there are areas that you're not sure that you need to give to God so that you can love. Go and ask God about it. And please don't stop praying for our brothers and sisters in this time. Okay. You must have a wonderful week. For those of you who are coming tonight again, I'm preaching this again. So if you are coming, you can come and pray. But you must have a blessed week, have a wonderful week, and I'm looking forward to testimonies from this. Amen.